हेलो, सलाम वालेकुम। हाँ हेलो, सामने एक वहाँ वहाँ कोई है नहीं, नहीं। जी नोबडी ओवर देयर। ओके हाँ ओके ओ मैंने ट्रिपल फोर कर दिया मैंने। ओके मैं फिर आता हूँ। ओके खुदा हाफिज़। सलामुअलैकुम। हेलो, वालेकुम सलाम वरहमतुल्लाह। أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال الله الحكيم في كتابه المبين، وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. Dear brothers and sisters, as we started discussion in the past weeks, and the first subject that we have discussed that was the importance of Amr al-Ma'ruf, and last week the discussion was about its wujub and its obligation, that what type of duty is that? Is that an individual duty, or Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar is a collective duty? So we had concluded that there are cases and there are important subjects where Amr al-Ma'ruf will become as a collective duty, and there can be cases where Amr al-Ma'ruf is individual duty. So that was a discussion that we passed. Today we would like to discuss its fiqhi part, that what are the conditions of Amr al-Ma'ruf, and what stages one has to go through in order to complete this responsibility. Even if it's a collective wajib or it's a individual wajib, if it becomes wajib upon somebody, then when it becomes wajib, and is it wajib in all the cases, in all the circumstances, or it is wajib only in certain circumstances? So that is a discussion that we would like to have today. As we have conditions for any other wajib, we have conditions for Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar as well. For example, Hajj is wajib for individuals, but it does not become wajib for every individual, every single individual, but it becomes wajib with the conditions. And condition for the wujub, it is said, for example, istita'at. And then there are two types of the istita'at. Istita'at, that means capability to perform this wajib. Istita'at can be physical istita'at, and also it can be spiritual istita'at for somebody who wants to perform duty of Hajj. Same is Amr al-Ma'ruf. As many other wajibat, we could give example that if somebody likes to perform salat, prayer. For prayer there are conditions. Everybody cannot just stand and start making salat. It is not going to be accepted. But he or she has to follow those important conditions that have been said in fiqh. And also there are some stages, some levels to get close to the prayer. So Amr al-Ma'ruf has a few important conditions, and there are levels or stages for Amr al-Ma'ruf that somebody has to acquire and go through those stages. So there can be first stage of Amr al-Ma'ruf, second stage of Amr al-Ma'ruf, and third stage of Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar. First condition that it's been said, and that a person who wants to do Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar, if somebody wants to enjoy and what's good and forbid of the evils, he must know, or she must know about the wujub. That means they must know if something is ma'ruf or munkar. This recognition is important. Knowing about the ma'ruf and knowing about the munkar is really important.
Sorry to interrupt. Can you move the mic closer, perhaps?
Just a moment, okay. that there are few important conditions that one needs to follow in order to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi Anil Munkar. Amongst those conditions, the very first condition is knowing about Ma'ruf and Munkar. So that means knowledge is really important. One should have knowledge that something is Ma'ruf and something is Munkar. And Ma'ruf also can be Ma'ruf in some circumstances, and it's not Ma'ruf in many other circumstances. So let's say if one starts asking somebody else that you should go for Hajj, and the person is not mustati, he does not have capability, so this demand and this asking is going to be a waste and it's useless. And one should know that in what cases Hajj becomes wajib. So if I start emphasizing and giving many hadith about the Hajj and say if you do not go Hajj, then this is going to be consequences, and if there is somebody who has just accepted Islam, that person may become confused, because we are asking something that he or she is not capable for that, but still, you know, we did not know what are the important conditions of enjoining towards Allah. So that is very obvious, of course. Knowing wajibat, knowing muharramat, wajibat when they become wajib. You know, sometimes we start asking people why you do not have beard. So there can be individual situations. There can be possibility that somebody cannot have it, or he is facing some sort of problems. Within wajibat also, there are wajibat which are individual wajibat and there are social wajibat. Individual wajibat, of course, are type of wajibat that are completely concerned with the person himself or herself. That is nothing to do with anybody else. And if we do know all the circumstances that why a person is not practicing, in that case we may be able to ask and invite and join towards good. But in other circumstances, if we do not know what is the situation, maybe the person wants to practice, but they are facing the circumstances that they are unable to perform that duty. So in that case, of course, we need to avoid from that. And if a person is practicing in many other cases and they are trying to be committed, but in one of the cases, for example, they are lacking, so over there we need to give benefit of doubt that definitely he or she has different circumstances than me. Social type of the wajibat, yes, over there we can understand that a social wajibat, it is duty, and we need to know what are the social wajibat. For example, hijab is not an individual issue. It is not a wajib which is just wajib upon the person or individual, and no one has a concern about that. Hijab is a social issue. It harms the society and community outside. That is why one should be asked in certain circumstances, but the person who wants to ask, he should follow the conditions. Second condition that has been said, that person should give this option and should have this confidence that when he or she likes to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, and they know that it is going to be influential and other side is going to be effective. If that effectiveness is there and we know that it's going to be effective, then it becomes wajib. Otherwise, Amr Ma'ruf will not be wajib anymore. We may ask somebody else who can be more influential or who can convince. So if that course of action is followed, then definitely we have tried to fulfill our responsibility informing somebody who can do Amr Ma'ruf and Nahi Anil Munkar. So this is the second important condition. After knowing wajib, knowing haram, second, our sense of effectiveness and knowledge of effectiveness is really important. When we say knowledge, does not mean that that a complete confidence or yaqeen about that. No, of course, there has to be confidence of 70-80% that person can determine that it is going to be effective. So if that is the case, then definitely it will be wajib on him. Third important condition about Amr bil Ma'ruf that is being said, and it is stated in the Risalas, that if a person who is being asked, for example, if I like to Amr bil Ma'ruf to somebody and I know that person is committing some sort of sin, and that person is insisting on this point. So let's say if somebody was not following the wajibat, and that has happened just once, it is just a case that he or she could not follow that. So over there, it's not wajib. It becomes wajib when there is insistence or consistency in practicing that type of the practice. So then we should intervene and we should ask them not to do that. But demanding from somebody becomes wajib when the person who is acting upon a munkar, he or she is insisting, and this practice becomes common within the life. So it's not just once a case or twice a case. If we know the person is really practicing person and this has become just once in his life that they have practiced that the action, and they can fix themselves, and there is possibility that if we give them time, they will be able to go back to their values and they are not going to commit again. In that case, we just need to wait for that the person can fix himself or herself. We don't need to intervene or ask them. Fourth condition, brothers and sisters, that it's been said, the one who wants to take this responsibility on his shoulders and do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi Anil Munkar should be harmless, and he should have confidence that his life and life of his family members, his close ones, is harmless. There is no problem with that. There can be a situation that let's say I went to ask somebody and enjoin them towards good, and that person has just slapped me, and they do not like to hear anything, or maybe that has become harmless, harmful for my life, and my life is in danger. I would like to discuss this part because there can be several questions regarding that. So before it goes to that, I would like to answer those questions as well. So the question can be raised that in many cases, of course, our enjoining towards good and forbidding the evil, it can be harmful as well. When it will be wajib upon us that even if it's harmful, then also we should step up. Or if we go back to the history, there is an important historical issue that we know. Imam Hussain alayhi salatu salam came out for Amr al Maruf and Nahi al Munkar, and people were asking, many people, they were advising Imam alayhi salatu salam not to step up and it can be harmful, but Imam said in all the circumstances he would go ahead and he will go do Amr al Maruf and Nahi al Munkar. He will try to complete his responsibility, even his life becomes in danger as well. So what is this situation, and with this type of condition that it's been placed, that the person should have sense of harmlessness and there is no harm for himself or herself and also for the community as well. Brothers and sisters, again we need to look at a munkar itself and evaluate the munkar. Once there is a munkar, an evil that is just an evil for a case, just evil as an individual, it is in, practiced somewhere and there is no harm for the society, there is no harm for the religion, and in that case, of course, this condition, it is going to be there and it will ask, you should not sacrifice anything, you should try to protect yourself, protect your family, and stay within the boundaries and do not step out of the boundaries that somebody can harm you. But there can be munkirat or evils. There can be some wajibat where sacrificing the life will become wajib also. So let me give you an example. If I am being attacked and somebody would like to slap me or hit me, the first thing that is going to be the defense, that is my hands and my rest of the body would like to protect head or the most important parts of my body, for example eyes or the face. Yes, I will defend through my hands. I can sacrifice my hands in order to protect my head, because I believe that in my body, one of the things that is the most important thing, that is my face, that are my eyes, or my major organs, that if that are being protected, then I can live. Yes, if somebody attack on my hands and it becomes injured, then still I am alive and there's no problem with that. So what it means? It means that in human life, in our daily life, we would like to protect our majors. We would like to defend our majors and sacrifice for those majors. But if it becomes a case that something is really important than my head, my own body, my majors, and that becomes major. For example, if there is imam of the age and he is being attacked, in that case my body is not important, My head is not important. My eyes are not important, but eyes of Imam of the age, body of Imam is important. Or if there is Quran that has been attacked. Now I'm not going to look at my own physical harmfulness, but I'm going to look if Quran has been attacked. I would like to protect from Quran even if my life goes. That is why sometimes in a ziyarat, when we speak with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, over there we state, Bi abi anta wa ummi wa nafsi lakal fada. Or sometimes we say, Bi abi anta wa ummi wa nafsi wa ahli wa mali lakal fada. That my parents, my children, my family, my wealth, and myself, everything can be sacrificed for you. So we need to evaluate the price of wajib and price of evil. If that evil, it is such a greater evil that one should sacrifice their life, so definitely over there this condition will not be suitable, but the person has to look at importance of that evil. In the time of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, evil of Yazid had become in such a form that it was demanding Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, who is Imam of the age, to accept that evil and give allegiance to that evil. So it becomes wajib and obligation upon Imam alayhi salatu wasalam to stand in front of that type of evil. And then Imam alayhi salatu wasalam has already followed all the stages of Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar, and at the end, of course, there was no choice that he had to sacrifice his life. These are very important conditions. And even when we look at harmfulness, not only physical harmfulness, we need to look at our honor, our dignity. If there is an alim and or there is a very respected person, a prominent member of the community, and if they go and ask somebody else, they will be humiliated or maybe they will be disrespected. So in that case also Amr al-Ma'ruf will not be wajib. But in some cases, of course, humiliation for the sake of Islam, humiliation for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is acceptable. But it depends that what type of wajib I would like to ask, or in what circumstances I would like to do Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar. Those circumstances are important. Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam had said a beautiful poetry. And in that poetry, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam has said that a life with humiliation is death with the izzat, with the honor, is better than a life with humiliation. And then death with humiliation is better than entering to the fire of hell. Al-Hayat Ma'ud-Walimina Barana. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam had used that living with evils and life with the evils is better. Death with the circumstances where the person is humiliated, death is better than this type of life. So Imam alayhi salatu wasalam wants to say that In some circumstances, a person has to accept the death and sacrifice for the cause for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam says that in some circumstances, humiliation also becomes wajib, that person has to be humiliated. But this humiliation, it has to be to protect from the fire of hell. Al-mawtu awla min rukub al-aari wa al-naru awla min rukub al-naari. Death is better than accepting humiliation, and humiliation is better to accept from the fire of hell. So you see, this is criteria that Imam al-Islam has placed, that in what circumstances somebody should accept the death. One can accept the death that if they are not going to be humiliated, the society is not going to be humiliated. And if that is the case, then what is the use of living? Living with the humiliation is not acceptable. So in order to come out of humiliation and have a life of respect, life of honor, Imam al-Islam had to stand and take his stand. So over there, there was complete humiliation for the Ummah, a complete humiliation for Imam al-Islam. So Imam al-Islam had accepted the death, because this death is better than the life that he had, and he did not like to live a life of humiliation, a life of disrespect and dishonor. Then he is being humiliated, but his humiliation is not for himself, but he said that al-aar awla min rukub al-naari. In some circumstances, humiliation is better than entering to the fire of hell. I want to protect myself, but I do not like to enter to the fire of hell. I would like to accept this humiliation. So they can take to the prisons. They can leave the body for a few days. It can remain without ghusl and kafan. But at the same time, I do not like to enter to the fire of hell, because there was will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Imam Hussain al-Islam was aware of will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is why he erected a bar. Now let's go and follow those stages and steps for Amr al-Ma'ruf. So of course, these were the conditions for Amr al-Ma'ruf that we've said. These are four important conditions that we've stated. Now those steps that have to be taken when somebody likes to do Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. First stage is our treatment, that how we would like to treat a person who is committing a sin, or somebody who is not following any obligation. First treatment, of course, it would be that we just show a little disconnection. We just show that we do not like that. Maybe sometimes just turning the face, not looking at somebody with the relation or as we had love in the past. Now we should show that I did not like that. So you can imagine, for example, sometimes parents, when they look upon their children with a little anger, or just moving their face, turning their face, not to look at them, or show that you did not like it. So it's just an action. There's no need to say something. Not liking is practical. And in hadith it's been said, كُونُوا دُعَاتَ النَّاسِ بِغَيْرِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. You need to invite the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without using your tongue. كُونُوا دُعَاتَ النَّاسِ بِغَيْرِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. Not necessarily all the time we should ask something but sometimes just avoiding from somebody, not giving their importance, or changing our course of action, it can be effective as well. But it depends, of course, on the circumstances. It depends what type of ma'ruf is that. It depends that what type of munkar is that. Second stage or second step will be asking or saying with the tongue. This is the second wajib or the second stage, that we need to go and ask somebody. This asking also can have certain stages. As you know, I mentioned in the past the story that is famous about Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam, where they looked at an old man who was practicing wrong, who was practicing wudu wrong. Over there, both Aimar alayhi salam had asked him, but they asked in such a way that his respect is remaining, and he is an elder. He is not going to feel bad, but he is being respected. At the same time, Aimar alayhi salam have completed their responsibility as well. And so, saying with our tongue and stating something, it becomes wajib in second stage. First stage is just turning our face, just being little angry, just being bothered, that I have been bothered, I didn't like it. And second, it is with the tongue. Third stage that is really important, and it needs to be discussed sometime as well, and all the circumstances needs to be discussed as well, that is using any sort of power to demand somebody, using power to demand not to commit that munkar. So this usage of power can have certain situations. It depends on all the conditions that I've stated in the past. And final condition was, if you remember, that there is no harmfulness, or there is no harm for the person who is committing or asking for al ma'ruf, or the person who wants to complete that duty, there is no harm for them. In that case, of course, using the power, it becomes wajib as well. But if that condition is not completed, and we know from very first day that if I use power, then it is going to be harmful for myself, my family, my community, something like that, in that case, of course, it is not wajib, and the stage will not become even wajib upon the person that he has to take the step. All these steps are based on the conditions. Those conditions need to fulfill, then person decided that yes, it is wajib upon them, and when they decided that it is wajib upon them, now they have to follow these stages. So you must be careful that we should not mix, and we should not be confused that why it's been said over here that you can use power. This using power, it depends on all the conditions that have been said in the past. And also, in some of the cases, using the power, it's not going to be an option. So what are those circumstances? One of the circumstances, if there is an Islamic government, and all the responsible people are there, our government has already taken measures about that. So there, we do not have this responsibility. It's not on our shoulders. We cannot take the law and order in our hands, and do something that can be harmful for our society, or it's going to take law and order in our hands. So we need to be really careful about this stage and completing this stage. So let's say if anybody has killed somebody else, and I'm trying to use the power, or for example, I make a gang and go against them and start taking qisas. This is not an option, of course. Over there, this is not wajib upon person, because law and enforcement authorities are there and they have to take care of that. Or if somebody is going to do that, then it's going to be completely against the law of land. We need to respect in some of the cases, of course, law of land as well. So, dear brothers and sisters, these were very important conditions and stages of Amrul Maruf. And then, inshallah, if there will be time, next week we will discuss about certain laws of Amrul Maruf and Nahyi al-Munkar as well. But that was a great opportunity that we have been able to go through those conditions and stages of Amrul Maruf. And I hope that all brothers and sisters in this conference, or those who could not make it, they try to follow those important conditions in order to practice that important duty of Islam, in order to complete their responsibilities. We as a Muslim are duty bound, and we need to raise our knowledge, and we need to see ahkam. And when we follow the path of marja'iyya, we need to see that how those duties are based, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us, and what are the conditions for certain duties. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah give us opportunity that we can follow the path of Islam, and we can practice in our life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah make us from the responsible people. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to raise us from this world, we are obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah, may Allah make Imam of the age happy and pleased with all of us. Now I would allow brothers and sisters, if there is any question, you can ask the question.
Thank you very much, Maulana, for the enlightening.
I think there is no question. Okay. Yes, yeah. عليكم السلام. Yeah, that is right. Yes, I stated that. Yes. 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 Thank you very much. First of all, Amr al Maruf is not wajib only upon an alim, but it is wajib for everyone. And when it is wajib upon everyone, then they need to see all these conditions, in what conditions they fall in. When somebody has seen an evil outside, then I need to evaluate. For example, I saw somebody is actually not wearing hijab, and they are in the community at this time, and this is a wrong which is taking place. I need to evaluate myself, where I stand. If I step up and just stop the sister and ask for hijab, is it going to be influential? So if that is the case, definitely I have to ask. Or maybe sometimes not showing that attachment or that respect that I would do for a hijabi female, I'm not doing for this female. I'm turning my face. In the first stage, I don't like to speak those type of people, those who do not do hijab. And I respect people, those who do hijab. So you see, I've changed my course of action. It depends on the individual, and it depends on the circumstances. We must be very smart in understanding the circumstances, understanding ourselves, and after evaluation, of course, it becomes wajib. So when it becomes wajib, then those stages needs to be followed. So as I've said, that there are two things. One is fulfilling the conditions. If all the conditions are meeting, then it becomes wajib. And when it becomes wajib, the first stage is just turning the face. Second stage will be saying by tongue. And third stage, of course, if there is a center, we may use some sort of power, and we make a law that from this time, no one should come with hijab. This is law. So that is enforcement, right? This enforcement, of course, it becomes wajib in some circumstances, because now it's not a case of an individual, though it's a case of whole community. We cannot allow somebody come and harm our community. So all those stages, when I've said those stages, will be actually followed. If there is somebody, he or she is not practicing this social wajib, if she is not practicing this social wajib, and hijab is not only for the female. Hijab is also wajib for the male as well, and the Quran is stated for both of them. So let's see, if hijab is wajib and somebody in an individual life is not practicing, over there course of action will be different. If they come into the community and they are not practicing over there, course of action will be changed. Then it will become incumbent upon us that we need to see that if whole community is not going to damage our sisters, our brothers over there, they are not going to be affected because of this situation. And our protection, it will become necessary. So I hope that your question is answered. I could not grab your question. I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question, please? Yes, I can hear you, but I could not understand what you mean. Yes. Yes, yes, good question, Alhamdulillah. Yes, you know, prayer is wajib individually for every individual, but it becomes a social wajib in some of the cases. For example, if there is a Salatul Jama'at, and Salatul Jama'at is congregational prayer, it is a social prayer. Now it's not just a individual wajib. And if somebody is opposing that, there it's the part of Amr Maruf and Nahi al-Munkar, and we can intervene if we know and if we have confidence of effectiveness, and we know that there is no harm for our life, that it will be wajib upon us, that we need to ask. If somebody just stands aside and started praying over there, no, that is not good. Of course, it is an evil. And even if that person is not agreeing with Imam, or maybe not agreeing with this Jama'at, then also he should not disrespect the gathering, disrespect the congregation. But what they need to do, they need to respect that. Maybe they can stand with the Jama'at, respect the Jama'at, and they should not pray with the Jama'at. But disrespect of the Jama'at is not allowed. So in some circumstances, of course, it will become wajib upon a mu'min that she needs to ask for the Jama'at as well. So with that, I think we need to conclude. Time is already over. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم